And the next one is taking what hasn't been given to us. So here, the first part, the object is something that doesn't belong to us. So it can be something that belongs to another person, or it can be something that's just unowned. Yeah, you know, something somebody else lost, but maybe they have some attachment to, so they haven't really given it. Okay, if they've kind of lost it and they've completely given it, given up on it, it's one case. But if they haven't, and their mind is still attached, it can be that. So this also includes taxes, fares, tolls, fees, all sorts of things like that that we're supposed to pay that we don't pay. That's considered taking what hasn't been given to us, because actually these things, you know, have belonged to others. It was real interesting one time, because in India, when you take computers into the country, they were charging like 250% customs. And I was in Singapore at the time, and somebody in India wrote and asked me to get a computer and take it in. And that meant, you know, getting it through customs without paying the duties. And I wasn't prepared to do that. And Amchok Rinpoche was there at the time. And I was asking him about it, because I said, you know, I mean, I don't want to avoid paying the duties, but on the other hand, the Indian government charging 250% is outrageous. You know, I mean, that's just out of sight for a duty. So I said, you know, if somebody does smuggle one in, it's just, you know, like to give to a friend or something, is that stealing? He made the remark, well, maybe you get 50% of the negative karma and the Indian government gets 50%. Yeah? Because it's also interesting, stealing, another form of stealing is like, if you have to give a penalty, and giving more than is reasonable, or more than is written in the laws. So, I mean, this kind of thing, it's really touchy. It's written in the laws, 250%, but it's really, you know, I mean, that's really crazy. So, again, it's one of those very ambiguous things. What do you do? Yeah. Or you go to a country where everything is done on bakshish. Yeah, everything. The whole government is run on bribes. So do you bribe or don't you bribe? You know, this is accepted policy. How you do business is you bribe. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those sticky things. I think everybody's going to have to look at themselves and see how much they want to get involved in these things. Okay, so the object is, you know, something of value. And then the second part, the complete intention. Okay, so the first part of that, the recognition, we have to steal what we intend to steal. In other words, if you take a radio when you intended to take a TV, then it's not a complete action. Okay? Also, like, let's say you gave something to somebody and then you forgot you gave it to them, and you took it back thinking it was yours. Yeah, so that's not complete. Or if you borrow $10 but you forgot how much you borrowed, so you only repay $5, then again, that's not complete. Yeah, another recognition. Yeah? I mean, Jonathan came up before dinner and asked me if he could have some water. And he really didn't need to do that. because what I think it's like in our culture, okay, things like in a bathroom that are left out on the shelves are generally offered, you know, and if you're staying in somebody's home, the things on that are open, you know, like the soap and the shampoo and the Kleenex and the toilet paper, they're meant for everybody's use if you're staying there. Yeah, water, for example. So I think the things that are kind of very clear in our culture that are commonly shared, it's not stealing. Yeah? And if you go into somebody's cupboards and start rummaging through it, it's a different thing. So I think that I always try and make clear, like when I'm living with people and say quite clearly, you know, if you need anything and I'm not here to ask, just go ahead and take it and tell me later. Yeah, I mean, apparently it's people you trust, but $100 is missing. But you know, so I think sometimes it's real good with the people that we live with just to kind of get clear, because otherwise, and things like paper clips and rubber bands, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah, it could drive you crazy. But then other things, I think it is good to ask and just not assume. Yeah? Because sometimes we take something that belongs to somebody else and we forget to tell them, and then, you know, they don't have it. We borrow a pen and we don't give it back, and then they're rummaging all over because it's their only pen or whatever. So I think it's good to kind of, you know, be aware. And see, the one nice thing about this kind of guideline is it makes us extremely aware of how we treat other people's property and what we take for granted that we can use communally and what we feel it's good to ask for. Okay, so recognition, and then, you know, the intention. Okay, so that you intend to steal it. So again, if you only repay $5 instead of $10, you're not really intending to steal the other $5. It's just that you forgot. Or if you gave something to somebody and then forgot you gave it and took it back, you didn't intend to steal it. Okay? And then in terms of the motivation, okay, part C, you can steal with anger, for example, plundering, you know, after a war, and just wanting to devastate somebody else, you know, and wanting to harm the other person by stealing their things. Stealing for out of attachment, that's the most common one, because of wanting something oneself. And stealing out of ignorance, thinking, oh, it's perfectly all right to steal. You know, or I'm a Dharma practitioner, and so it's okay if I steal because what I'm doing is so important. Yeah. Or, I mean, people make all sorts of weird, yeah? Okay. We often think there's nothing wrong with stealing from the government, or there's nothing wrong with stealing from big companies, isn't it? Yeah? We don't like somebody, so there's nothing wrong with stealing from them. Check up. Yeah. Yeah. Now again, I think if somebody, let's say, doesn't want to pay the portion of their taxes that goes for military means, my personal view is I wouldn't see that as stealing if you're not paying it because you don't want other beings to lose their life. If you're using that as an excuse because actually you want to keep the money, yeah, then that's not so good. And then the action, okay, the third part, the action is actually doing it. So it could be, you know, threatening somebody by force. It could be breaking in their house. Or it could be what we most commonly do. We cheat a little bit here. We cheat a little bit there. We borrow something and we don't return it. Yeah, we use the things at work that are meant for work use, but we use them for our private use without getting permission for that. Now again, if you get permission, it's one thing, but if you don't, you know, you do hundreds and thousands of photocopying on the country's, you know, the company's thing. Yeah? We make long distance calls from the office when it's clear that they don't want us to do that. You know, if that's one of the perks of our job, it's okay, you know, but if it's not a perk of our job, then, yeah, it's considered stealing. Or we could use fraudulent weights or overcharge somebody or all these other ways of taking what hasn't been given to us. Okay, and then the completion of the action is now feeling this thing belongs to me. This is mine. So having a feeling of ownership over it. Okay. Also, if we coerce somebody into giving us something, you know, we oblige them to give us money even though they don't want to, that's taking what hasn't been freely given. Yeah. So putting people in positions where they really can't turn us down. And for those of you who sometime maybe get ordained, if they pass out the offerings and you take twice your portion, stealing. You know, because, you know, in Dharamsala sometimes, like, because people make lots of offerings, and then they'll go around and they'll give like 5 rupees or 10 rupees to all the monks and nuns. So if you just, you know, sit here and collect some and move there before the guy gets there and collect the more. Yeah. Okay, now we're going to go on to unwise sexual behavior. Okay, so there's 4 basic types here, with an improper person, in an improper way, an improper place, and an improper time. And again, like I said last time, I'm not sure exactly how many of these are culturally determined and how many are, you know, just kind of naturally negative. So in terms of the object, okay, so, you know, somebody who's celibate, somebody who's in the custody of their parents, somebody who's related to you, or even with your own partner, okay, near a temple, or on days when you've taken precepts. They also say in the daytime. I have yet to understand why they say that. It could be because in ancient India, everybody was supposed to be working in the day, not messing around at home. And also because everybody, you know, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles, and the chickens all lived in one room. And in the daytime, you know, might be a little bit embarrassing. okay. So there's these other kinds of restrictions. And then, but the chief one is, the chief principal thing of really fundamentally breaking this is going outside your own relationship. And so if you're in a relationship, going outside of that, or even if you're single, the partner you go with is in another relationship. This is what's commonly called adultery. And this is the principal thing to avoid, basically, because it causes so much incredible pain and confusion in people's lives. And, I mean, it's so clear, and I kind of marvel at our society, because, I mean, everybody is in so much pain and confusion because their partners sleep with other people. But then when they want to go sleep with somebody else, they don't think twice about the effect it has on their partner. And it's just, you know, it's like, if you want to make confusion in your life, this is like a real good way to do it. Yeah, I mean, you can see, I'm sure you people, you know, you can look at your own life, you can look at your friends. What do people talk about all the time? This is one of the big things that's so problematic in their lives, because kind of, you know, the mind is just going, jumping around from person to person. Yeah. And then especially if there's children involved, you know, it just creates incredible difficulties for the kids. And so His Holiness, you know, really kind of tells people, you know, when they get married, please, before you get married, check up well before you get married. And then when you have kids, really recognize that the marriage commitment is definitely beyond oneself now, and to really have the wish to take care of the children. You know, so that it's not just having kids and then, you know, oh, well, you know, my husband, my wife is just a pain in the neck, so ciao, goodbye, sorry, kids. You know, because I think those of you who come from divorced families, you know how painful it is. And so, you know, knowing from one's own experience, then at least trying to avoid that kind of pain and confusion for either one's own partner or one's own children. Yeah. And then the action is, you know, the meeting of the organs, And then the completion of the action is delight. They're so proper in the text. Delight. In other words, orgasm. Okay? Now, the thing is, what's very interesting, is about the 7 negative actions of body and speech. If you do it, you can have them complete by telling somebody else to do them. In other words, if I tell you to go and kill, when you kill, I get the negative karma of killing, plus you do. Okay? But with sexual, unwise sexual conduct, okay, if I tell you to go sleep with somebody, I don't get the negative karma of unwise sexual conduct because I didn't get the bliss at the end. Okay? So this is the only one of the 7 of body and speech that you can't do by telling somebody else to do it. Okay? Now, of course, you know, encouraging somebody to go outside their relationship isn't a real nice thing to do. Okay? Okay? Okay, so recognition is you have to have sex with the person you're intending to. You know? I mean, no, so if you intend to rape Joan and you rape Mary instead, you know, it's not a complete thing. And then, so it has to, you know, recognition of the person, then the intention to do it, and then the motivation. It's usually done with attachment. You know, it's always completed with attachment. It could be initially motivated by anger, you know, and some rape, you know, I think a lot of rape might be motivated by anger. It can also be the initial causal motivation by ignorance. You know, people, for example, thinking that this is some great spiritual practice. Yeah. So coercing somebody into having sex out of having some great, you know, spiritual practice. I'll tell you a funny story here. When I went to Hong Kong, you know, they put the Dharma Center put a little announcement that I was coming and everything. So one man called and invited me out to lunch. And I mean, this is kind of common. I mean, people invite me out. And so we went out to lunch, and it was so funny. He starts telling me how, you know, he's just gotten involved with this new group, and they're using sex and spirituality and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he thought, because I was a religious person, that I would be really in tune to this, and this would be really great. I was saying, get me out of here. You know? So this is a real good example of ignorance as the motivation, you know? Yeah? Thinking. And see, and this is why a lot of people in the West who hear about Tantra, yeah? First of all, they don't know that there's a difference between Hindu Tantra and Buddhist Tantra. And they don't know that there's a difference between real Tantra and flaky Tantra. And so they get all involved in, oh, look, you know, you can have religion, you know, you can have Dharma and sex at the same time. I mean, this is great. Yeah? And, you know, Buddhism isn't anti-sex, but this mind that kind of rationalizes and says, we're going to turn this into some high, great, mystical, spiritual experience to rationalize doing it as much as possible with whomever we want to, yeah, without any kind of responsibility. That kind of rationalizing attitude is an example of ignorance.